Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All you guys can start. His name is Saquon Barkley. And the films I have, just so you know, the offensive line, this Mekhi Becton playing right guard, he's 350 pounds. He almost killed an L.A. Ram on the second level. I really have the Philadelphia Eagles getting a boot and sticking it up Pittsburgh's ass in this game. Physical on the line, man. Mekhi Becton, Dickerson at left guard. Saquon Barkley's chasing Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing record, man. Oh, A.J. Brown, just stand over there. And as soon as they come into the eight-man fronts and start playing single high coverage, just be patient. We're going to get you the ball. That's what I'm telling you, AJ. Just be patient.
Boot in the ass game. That's John Gruden. Mike Tomlin used to work for John Gruden. Typically, these guys Tomlin worked with, very media friendly. In fact, Tony Dungy saying today that Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate and would be a favorite if he had not missed the first six games of the season. Well, Chucky doing the opposite, saying, see this Timberland boot that people used to wear in the early 2000s? That is going to go up the rear end of the Steelers on Sunday, and that does not feel good. That's a small hole for a boot to go into. Yeah, but hey, that's the way Steelers and Eagles have gone in Philadelphia throughout the years.
Hammer, meat, nail.
10 straight the Steelers have lost in Philadelphia. Donnie, our football guy, said the Steelers are going to win this game. I think it's a half-truth, and I will explain to you why I feel that way in a second here. We do have a gorgeous Charlie Borges here. John Gruden authored the most erotic moment of Charlie's life, and that was when his Buccaneers won the Super Bowl with Gruden back in the early
2000s. He's giving us not one thumbs up that it was the most erotic moment of his life.
So he is saying, yes, if Gruden says it, I don't care about those horrible emails Gruden sent out. If he says that they're going to beat the Steelers badly on Sunday, what?
I still care about the emails that he sent out, but I mean, I'll take the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's
you.
A pony specialty to just make you seem like you're just casually
way to leave your scruples and morals at the door in the name of winning, Charlie.
Congratulations, you had a nice
on all your success.
A perfect pivot right there.
And Charlie's in today because the MILF hunter Seth, who usually produces us on Friday, is on his way to Philly for this game. Now, he is not going into enemy territory because he is one of these morons who lives here but roots for the Eagles. So he's actually, he's going to be among his cretins and slobs on Sunday when he's at this game. All right, let me tell you why I think Donnie told the half-truth, Mulsey.
Because they're going to cover?
No, it's actually the opposite of that. I think that there's two ways I see this game going. I either see this game being on an impossible, unlikely, shocking Steelers win where Russell Wilson makes magical plays and defies the odds without George Pickens. And he's not putting up big numbers, but he's making clutch plays. And then the defense is rising up and they're taking advantage of the upheaval in Philly. And I was talking to somebody in Philly, and actually one of the great sportscasters in Philly history is going to join us later this hour. But it sounds to me like Philly's offense is just the Steelers' Justin Fields offense on steroids. It's run the ball a ton and never turn the ball over. Play super duper conservative, and you can play conservative when you have the best running back in the NFL, and you also have a quarterback who's a very dangerous runner, and let's make sure he doesn't wreck the game by throwing interceptions, because apparently that's what was happening early in the year. He was a turnover machine, and they adopted the juiced up Fields offense there, and they've won 9 straight. But what's happened is the wide receiver who's making all that money and is a star is unhappy with that kind of... We have Army-Navy on Saturday. He doesn't like the fact that he's now playing basically in an option offense. So I am saying that the Steelers either shut that down and win a game against all odds, or they get blown out. I don't have close loss on my bingo card because that's actually the one thing they never do. Mike Tomlin is great as an underdog. Not great as an underdog covering the spread, just great as an underdog winning games, period, when the deck is stacked against him. I think they have like one of the longest streaks in NFL history of when they are an underdog, just winning the game, period, and not, oh, they were a 6-point underdog and they lost by only 2. Okay, we lost, but at least you get your money. No, they win the games outright when they are in this role. And the history of this rivalry is when the Steelers go to Philadelphia, it's not a, oh, well, 1 or 2 plays and we lost. It's you got absolutely run over and bludgeoned. And I'm actually predicting the bludgeoning to happen. But if it's no bludgeoning, then I think they actually win the game. And Mike's in the locker room on video with his players saying, like, what's the trap thing?
Here's your trap. Take over your trap.
Yeah, doing that.
You think he would have earned it at that point if he had taken over their trap?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Nolan and Cower never won there.
Can you imagine Chuck Noll, if camera phones existed, walk into your trap, take over your trap?
I think he said, give me that. Let me show you how this works. What happens is the lithium battery here.
Chuck Noll would have had a glass of wine next to his players. He'd be like, smell this Cabernet Sauvignon. This is me walking into your house, taking over your house.
Yeah, something tells me Noll would not have said like Tomlin did, I'm going to stay coaching football forever because it's not only my job, it's my hobby. I think Chuck would have rolled his eyes.
I think the happy medium between the two is actually Cower would have been the most insane in the cell phone, like camera phone era, like the good camera phones. Cower after
a
big win.
Turn that phone off. Turn that off. I got to cuss some more.
I think Cower would have been way more. Like Tomlin knows, I think, that he goes in there, does it very briefly, and then gets out of there. Like I saw the other angle of the Najee thing. He does a quick hit and run there. Cower'd be in there going nuts.
Since 2020. The Steelers are 37-14 in one-score games.
That's easily
only,
the best in the
no,
league,
it's not,
it?
Actually. Only the Chiefs are better.
Well, they've gassed that up by this year. Yeah. Coming into this year, there was no way the Chiefs were better. How many other games have been one score? All but 2, I think.
So
they're 10-1.
So if you think it's going to be close, pick the Steelers. I don't think it's going to be close. That's why I have a bad feeling, but that's my point in saying Donnie told the half-truth. Mm-hmm. Donnie thinks it's going to be a close game. And if you think it's going to be a close game, then I think you should take the Steelers in this one.
Jalen Hurts threw 4 interceptions in the first 3 games of the season. The Eagles attempted at least 30 passes in all 4 of those games. They have only attempted more than 25 in a game twice since.
So do you agree with this summation that they've turned into the Justin Fields on steroids offense?
The most yards that, I mean, the numbers would certainly back it up, but so here's the problem.
Run it and don't turn it over.
Here's the problem, though. As mad as A.J. Brown wants to be about it, they're 9-0 doing it. He's thrown 1 interception in that time.
Yeah.
And he's thrown like something like 12 touchdowns. I mean, it's working.
The Steelers take the ball away and the Eagles don't give it away. So that'll be one of the major themes to this game.
I don't think
it's going to go. Who wins that game of chicken?
I don't think it's going to go the Steelers' way. I think Mike Tomlin, for all his motivational tactics and for how much he cares. He knows that guys like have pride, and he, it's not in his DNA to go into a game and say, we're kind of punting on this one. I think he knows there are bigger fish to fry. I do. And so...
what would be a big fish to fry?
Baltimore, like, to win the... I don't know. Like, how about like a giant marlin?
Like, what is the fish that you would get at like a fish fry during Lent?
Sorry, I got distracted. Somebody has their jacket and their bag out there and they're heading out for the day. I just got distracted.
Oh, okay. I think I know who that is.
What would be a big fish to fry?
Yeah.
That's like a typical fry. I mean, bass? Giant ass bass?
Never had it.
Cod.
Is cod a big fish?
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Catch the right fish, yeah.
It's a thick fish.
Thick?
Yeah.
T-H-A-C-C. That fish is thick.
Thick with two C's.
When I made fish tacos, it was a bitch to cut it up. I did, and Amanda said I should cook more often because it was good, and I'm like, nah, I'd rather watch football.
So you did the opposite of when you get asked to fold the laundry, do such a bad job, she never asked
you. It was one of those things where I wanted to prove that I had it in my bag.
Yeah, but then you didn't want to bring it out of your bag ever again.
Yep. Tomlin, by the way, while you're ruminating on what you're going to say about this game.
I know what I'm going to say, but you just decided to take a fish detour here, so you can do whatever you'd like here.
Steelers point totals in Philadelphia with Tomlin as the head coach. 6-3-13. They're averaging 11 points a game there, man.
Well, if you watched last night's...
Less than that.
If you watched last night's nightly sports call, you know what my prediction is already. But I know you didn't. That's okay. They're not going to win, and they're not going to keep it.
They're averaging 7 points
inside
game,
the spread. They're not going to keep it under.
So we're
5.5.
We're in lockstep here. We think that it's going to get ugly on Sunday.
I define ugly because here's my basic thought. It just reeks of like a 21-10 game for me, where the Eagles never feel like they're being threatened. Like it could get to 17-3, not 17-3. It could get to 14-3. And then maybe the Steelers put together a good drive and get it to 14-10, but then the Eagles go right back down the field. Or I could see it being 21-3 and the Steelers tack one on at the end. I just think that they are going against a team that is a mirror image of what they would like to be, but is just better almost across the board. And and you can overcome that in the NFL, especially when you're on your home field, I think. But they have shown no ability to overcome it in Philadelphia. If this game were at Acrisure Stadium, I think it would be much closer. I think the Steelers would have a very real chance to win. I think the line would be a lot smaller, but it's not. It's in their personal, you know, funhouse mirror kind of place of horrors, where they just turn into a different and terrible football team no matter how good they are otherwise. I think the problem here is the Eagles are probably going to run the ball enough with Hurts. If I were going to like identify and pinpoint one thing that's going to make a difference.
13 rushing touchdowns.
He's got
there.
More than Barkley.
Wow.
He's got 13. Barkley has 11. They're going to run the ball with Hurts.
That's a stat right there.
And I think that's going to be the thing that decides this game is the fact that they're not sell out to stop Barkley, but that they are focused on Barkley, and you almost forget the fact that, wait a minute, the other dude there who can run the ball, the quarterback, is literally leading the freaking NFL in rushing touchdowns.
All right, we have not taken a lot of calls this week because we have been on the road. And from a technical standpoint, it's a little bit harder when we're not in studio to get your third voice on the show, which is a very valuable voice. We also don't have Donnie today because Donnie was at a beer outlet in Hampton called Hampton Beer Outlet, very appropriately named, eating a one-pound bag of popcorn that he actually got through the entire bag over the course of 4 hours, which is very impressive.
So it wasn't like a challenge for him.
He ate 1 pound of popcorn. While he was saying that the Steelers are going to shock the world and win in Philadelphia for the first time since the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. 1965.
Do you know who Ed Sullivan was, Charlie? He was not paying attention.
Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, do you know who he was?
He
goes, I remember Steve Sullivan. He played for the Nashville Predators. He was a nice
winger. Am I on the right track? Ed O'Neill played him? No.
Ed O'Neill played Ed Sullivan?
Ed O'Neill, the guy from Married with
You're
Children?
You're thinking of Al Bundy.
Yeah.
No. Ah, yes. Ed Sullivan, Al Bundy.
Sorry, I'm distracted.
Many such cases of confusing the two.
What is going to happen Sunday in Philadelphia? Do you have a feeling that the Steelers are going to finally break the curse there? Much like the Penguins had a curse in Philly for all those years. Or do you think it continues with no George Pickens in the Steelers' miserable history there?